world.
And welcome to a series of unfortunate sequels, where we explore the highs
and the lows
of cinema's most enduring franchises. My name is John.
And I'm Rebecca.
And today we're going to be talking about the highest rated movie in the Wishmaster franchise. Wishmaster. This came out in 1997 and has a 5.8 on IMDb.
Yeah. God, what was Anaconda again? I think this is lower than Anaconda, the first Anaconda.
Really?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
That's fine.
So, had you seen Wishmaster before?
Yes, I have absolutely seen this one. Sometime in like my late teens, early 20s, I had a friend who really liked the Wishmaster films, so I think I've seen more than one of them, but it's been over 10 years, and I could not tell you what other Wishmaster movies I've seen, but I've definitely seen this one.
I don't think I've seen any, so this was a first.
I'm so pleased.
I'm familiar with the general theme, having read plenty R.L. Stein books with very similar themes to this.
You assumed that Jin would be involved?
Yeah, I assumed there'd be some sort of Jin in this movie.
Yeah, we used to say, make your wishes to each other all the time because we thought it was funny. Anyway, that's my experience with Wishmaster.
Yeah, so let's get into it. We open on what seems to be some sort of medieval apothecary or wizard den or something like that. All I know is that whoever owns this place has exclusively great storage containers. It's all skulls and hand-carved shit, and it's great.
It's really my vibe of like a medieval witch.
Mm-hmm. And they're using a mortar and pestle to mix blood, it looks like. Seems like a spoon or something would be better for that, but hey, you know, whatever.
They didn't have spoons then, John.
I'm so stupid.
God. This is just the credits sequence.
Yeah, this is just the credits. They're mixing blood. They pour the blood into a fire, which turns it into lava, which they pour over a rock, which gives birth to a gem.
Yeah.
So that happens.
This isn't what the word sequences that come next tell us how gin were made, but that's fine.
Yeah. Although, I guess part of it, maybe. Maybe that's what they meant by fire.
Oh.
So next we get a little voiceover that explains how gods create, or the light created the gods.
No,
and the,
I think gods created light, right?
God created light, and light created angels, and earth
and man.
Created man, and then fire created gin.
It was
fear the gin.
It was something along those lines. It was like the person reading it is reading it so slowly that I definitely read the paragraphs that were on the screen 2 to 3 times before he actually finished.
It's like a voiceover in a video game.
So slow, because he's trying to be dramatic, but he's like, light created angels. I'm like, oh my God, just tell me.
We get a little bit of exposition about what a djinn is. We basically just hear, once you make, they give you 3 wishes. Once you make your 3rd wish, the djinn's legions invade the earth.
It's frustrating that they had this, because then the rest of the movie is the protagonist trying to dig up information about the djinn.
Which we already know.
Because it told us in like 5 sentences that took 20 minutes to read in the beginning of the film. So why did they do that?
This is a move straight out of the Ninja Turtles 3 playbook.
Oh, yeah, definitely know that. Oh, wait, the one we watched?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, no, I do know that one. That's true. Yeah, you don't need to... But this wasn't for children. That one, I'll at least let it slide. It's for little children. And
yeah,
us.
Yeah, little children. Now, after learning this, we hear a sultan make his 2nd wish. He wishes... Just a really vague, terrible wish, even if you didn't realize that the djinn was going to do something awful, still just a shitty wish.
Yeah.
He's just like, I wish to see wonders.
Like, what are you talking about? Cool.
And had he not made, that was the 2nd wish, like, was his 1st wish not awful enough that he thought to word his 2nd wish a bit more carefully than that, or?
All right, let's speculate. What do you think his 1st wish was?
Maybe it was to be sultan.
Maybe.
I've seen Aladdin.
He wishes to be a prince, honey.
That's because he was thinking smaller.
That's true.
You mustn't be afraid to think bigger, darling, said the guy in Inception.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. So he wishes to see wonders, which the genie makes all of his, basically everyone in his party just and kingdom just dies in a horrible, awful, but fun, creative way.
Yeah, some of them like turn into snakes. Others, their skeleton escapes from their flesh prison. It's very interesting. There's a lot of practical effects in this, which is very fun.
Yeah, that's pretty
and
cool.
I feel like the team is just like, what do we get to do today?
Yeah. What type of crazy horror shit are we doing today?
Yeah, and there are definitely scenes later that I feel like they just wanted to do some fun ass effects, and that was literally the only reason why anything happened.
Which I'm cool with.
That was fine.
I'm down with that shit.
It's a very gore-heavy film, though.
Yes. Now, his wizard warns him, don't use your last wish, brah. Like, and the, you know, the genie's in his ear like, use it. Use the last wish. Do it. You know you want to. But he's like, no. I mean, hordes of evil are going to take over the earth. Maybe you shouldn't do this. And then he traps the genie in a crystal.
Yeah, the one that they made in the beginning.
Yeah. Now we flash to present day.
Kind of.
Read as 1997. There's some rich dude having a statue delivered. It's coming off of a boat, and there's a drunk guy who's operating the crane.
Naturally.
And the rich dude's assistant is all like, hey, be careful with that. It's priceless. And drunken crane dude accidentally drops the giant statue on his head and kills him and ruins the statue.
Yeah, the statue's in a box, and the guy goes and stands directly under the box to
right
yell
under
at the
there.
Guy. Like, right under there. And then he stands, like, and stares at it and yells for too many seconds.
Yes, it was a very Austin Powers. Stop!
Yeah. It's exactly what it felt like. It was like the movie thought, no one's died in 4 minutes. We got... Because this was wholly unnecessary. Although, I guess it did have to... I mean, it had to drop because the crystal is inside the statue.
But they just really hated that actor, and they were like, and we want to kill this dude, too.
Yeah. For funsies.
Yeah. So they drops on his head. The statue's kind of ruined, and one of the dock workers notices that there's a gem poking out of it. So he pulls it out, makes a fun little noise as it... It comes out.
It's a gem inside of a stone statue. Why did it make that sound?
Who knows?
It's like when someone falls anywhere and there's a slip sound. What? It even happens in Jurassic Park.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the dock worker doesn't know the value of this gem, so he just pawns it. He gets like $200 for it. The pawn shop person goes to an auction house who knows that they'll probably pay a little bit more for it. And the auction house takes it and says they'll give it to their specialist to take a look at. And that's where we meet our protagonist, Alex.
The hot blonde lady.
Hot blonde lady. Now, she's playing tennis with some dude. Josh, we find out a little bit later.
God, I forgot his name already and we just watched it. And they yell it so many times.
She do yell it a lot. Yes, they're playing tennis. They have some flirty moments. Alex doesn't want to date him, but...
For
they're good friends.
Yeah.
So Alex goes back to work and they give her this gem and they're like, yo, we just got this in. Take a look. How much is it worth? So she gives her little, you know, investigation and something's weird about this gem. There's like something living in it or something. She doesn't know. So she brings it to her good friend, Josh.
After she breathes on it and rubs it on her shirt, is that what makes her the...
Yeah. So she breathes on it. Gives it a little shine, which awakens the genie inside.
Genie inside. Yeah, because throughout the movie, he's going to grant wishes for random people, but he seems to need the wishes from her. So, like, obviously she had to do something to awaken him.
Yeah, so the way it works, basically, whoever finds the gem, and they're using finds very loosely here, so it seems whoever breathes on and then rubs themselves on the gem first gets 3 wishes. And in the meantime, the genie can only use their power if somebody specifically asks for something. And they also, they're a little lenient in them asking. It's not like, it doesn't have to be a wish. It can basically just be like, the genie will be, hey, would you like some food? And someone's like, yeah. And that's that counts.
Yeah.
And that will cost them their soul.
Yeah, he doesn't have to disclose that information either. I mean, even Lucifer has stricter...
Right? Fucking genies. God. So, she brings it to Josh, who is a scientist, but not a gemologist, which he makes very clear. And so she goes to coach her basketball team while he investigates the gem. He puts it into a machine, which is strikingly exactly the right size for this gem that he has just picked up.
Yeah, same shape even. And this isn't like a round gem. I also can't stress how how worthless the gem looks. I guess I want to say it looks very cheap. It's not like it looks like it came from a cereal box, but it's like three steps away from coming from a cereal box. You know what I mean?
Doesn't look great.
No, it doesn't look like a priceless gem, but I'm no gemologist.
I'm no gemologist, so... He runs a few tests on the gem, but then it explodes, and he is in lots of pain. This little creature pops out of the gem.
Little-ish, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of looks like the leprechaun from Leprechaun a little bit.
Yeah, he frequently reminded me of him.
And he crawls up to Josh and is like, I can save you from this pain. Do you want to be free?
You sound like if Bane sucked in helium.
Josh says yes, so Josh dies.
Yeah.
And then the genie is no longer small. He's become a bit bigger, and now we find out that he basically gets more powerful when other people are wishing, or like it restores his form.
Yeah.
While this is happening, Alex kind of has like a little vision of what's going on. She screams, and
I could have done without the scenes, the so many scenes of close-ups of Alex as she screamed in my face in what looked like almost a fisheye lens.
Yes, that happens a lot. Anytime someone makes a wish, we get that. We get treated to that.
Yeah, she seems to be connected somehow, and just, but it's just real annoying.
Yeah. Next, we kind of flash to a homeless guy outside of what I think was like a pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
He has clearly had some altercations with the owner before. They get into a little argument. The homeless guy wishes all these things upon him, like, I hope you die and wash down the sewer so I can pee on you and all this. And, you know, genie overhears and it's like, you really want that stuff to happen? It's like, yeah, I guess. What specifically? What specifically do you want to happen? Well, I guess I want him to get cancer and die. So the genie makes that happen in the most wild fucking way possible, where the guy just, I guess, starts coughing up milk, and his skin just kind of like shrinks on his bones, and I guess that was a real quick cancer, and then he just dies.
Yeah, his like skin boils over, and then when he collapses, there's like yellow pus all over his face and milk mustache stains around his mouth.
Yeah, it looked almost like when the androids get cut in like Alien.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looked like. But, like, just around his mouth, not his
Yeah, just around
area.
His mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we get that close-up on Alex.
I did too many imitation screams in Anaconda. I can't do it again.
Now, we get a little bit of exposition now. So, Alex is home with her sister, and her sister... I mean, Alex obviously seems concerned about all this super weird shit that's happening. Her sister is like, is this happening? Is it happening again?
Also, her best friend just died.
Yeah, her best friend just died. It's like, it'll be like when mom and dad died. The therapy, the nightmares, seeing things. You don't want that to happen again, do you? And we basically find out that Alex saved her little sister from a fire, was not able to save her parents in time.
And I don't know what her parents were doing, but
we don't know why they couldn't save themselves. We see screens of them just kind of standing in front of kind of what looks to be a door, maybe a window.
Yeah.
And just burning, but not actually trying to get out the window/door.
I don't know.
We don't know. We don't know why it was Alex's job to save them. They seemed fully... I thought maybe they were sleeping and she couldn't get to them in time, but they were clearly awake. We saw them awake.
Yeah. I love classic horror movie exposition. It's like, that fire wasn't your fault, Alex. Do you remember when it happened back in 1992 with mom and dad? It's not your fault.
He had been drinking. You know, he always was one for the drink.
How all of us talk to each other 24/7. It's either that or newspaper clippings.
Yeah, this one had both, so.
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
We also get a great nightmare scene here where she's at a tennis court and she's next to Josh, but Josh looks like the emo zombie Wishmaster.
Well, he looks like the Wishmaster, but with Josh's hair. So it's like they just put a floppy wig on the Wishmaster costume, which was very well done. The Wishmaster looked very cool in this, but the floppy wig was really hysterical.
I liked it. I think he should have it all the time. It's a much better look for him.
All right. I disagree. I like later in the movie when his hair moves on its own and looks like snakes.
Oh, yeah. The little swingy tendrils.
Yeah. Way better.
Now, Alex is trying to get to the bottom of this whole thing. She essentially tracks down the dock worker who initially found the gem and gets him to tell him how he found it, what happened leading up to it, and that leads her to Beaumont, who was the rich dude who bought the statue in the first place. So she goes to visit him. Meanwhile, the genie visits a medical school and goes into the cadaver lab and just cuts the face off a cadaver and then turns into that person.
But, oh, okay. I'm so dumb. For some reason, I thought that he had cut the face off Josh. And I was like, why doesn't he look like Josh now?
Oh.
Because later in the movie, he cuts the face off somebody else and looks just like them. I don't know why I thought it was Josh.
Oh, yeah, he just got this person from a medical...
Yeah, just a random dude.
Yeah. A student walks in on him. And he's like, oh my god,
yeah.
Do you not want to see this? Like, no, I don't. So he fucks up his eyes.
It's like they kind of, at first from far away, it looked like they turned into buttholes. But they just kind of like got fleshy sewn bits put on top of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see it. I'm glad he didn't fuck up my eyes.
Oh, you don't want to see this? Let me help you. My impression wasn't as good as yours. I'm sorry.
Yours was very good. So Beaumont had told Alex about a professor who specializes in these types of things, so Alex goes to see her. She learns all about the genies and the djinns from this professor, so she gets some research material and goes back to read on her own. Meanwhile, the genie is buying a sweet outfit and asks the lady who's ringing him up, who's very pretty, would you like to be beautiful forever? And she's like, yeah, sure. So he turns her into a mannequin?
Yeah, but her eyes still move around. But
her eyes still move. She's way less pretty as a mannequin, so I think he fucked this one up.
Yeah, he really did.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Made me uncomfortable.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
And then he goes to the police station to get Alex's address so that he can force her to make her wishes.
Yeah, Alex did have a run-in with police when she went to check on Josh and found that he was dead. So they had gotten her card that way.
Obviously, the detective is like, no, not going to give you that info. Sorry, brah. But he does kind of point to a perp who's there. He's like, you know what? We can never get charges to stick on that guy. You know, I wish for once we could catch him, you know, dead to rights with sus witnesses everywhere. And so the genie makes him steal one of the police officer's guns and then just shoot a few officers, and all the officers run up and tackle him. And while they're distracted, he goes through the detective's notebook, gets Alex's address, and is on his way. During this altercation, that guy straight up rips a dude's fucking jaw off. It's metal as hell.
It's weird, because, like, they tackle him, and he's down, and then, like, it's like the genie was like, well, let's make him do a round two. So he, like, wiggles his little fingers again or whatever, and the guy somehow breaks away, gets superhuman strength. Yeah, the jaw thing was bananas. And then they shoot him roughly 27 times.
And he still didn't want to go down, but he did.
Yeah.
The genie has Alex's card now, so he goes to her work address. A guard tries to stop him, but he acts a little too tough for his britches and says some poor choice words and ends up getting fucking turned into glass and exploded.
It's great.
Yeah, everything was looking good. The genie was all like, oh, you want something? And he's like, yeah, I want you to go away. And it looked like that was going to be that. The genie was forced to walk away. Then he was like, you know, if you want to come through here, you're going to have to go through me. And I'd love to see you try. And again, we're playing a little fast and loose on what counts as a wish. So that counts. So, yeah, he just turns him into basically a glass pane, walks through him, and then it explodes in probably the greatest CGI in the movie.
Some of the only CGI in the movie, really. Most of it is practical. But I liked the guy in the glass. It looked very cool. I recommend looking up this. And then the glass exploding, terrible. Really terrible stuff.
It was just real bad.
But it looks like they were about to tell you to put your 3D glasses on now, right before.
Alex's boss, also a little hesitant to give Alex's information out, but the genie just kind of offers him money, so he sells her out for a cool mill.
He gets that by his mother getting on a plane and then it exploding.
Oh, yes.
I guess she was rich.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for.
You have to stop.
Alex goes to visit the professor. She's done some searching, and now she realizes, you know, what's kind of going on. She also had this vision, basically, of, or since she's tied to all the people that made wishes, the genie.
He takes all their souls in the gym.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Skip the scene.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So the genie goes to visit Alex, where she's coaching her basketball team. Alex had tried to call the doctor or the professor to be like, yeah, I'm coming over. I really need to talk to you. And then she goes to coach the team. The genie borrows her sister's phone and just hits redial and now has the professor's phone number, which somehow he gets the address from that.
Well, she says her name as well, so he might have been able to track her down by her name. I mean, she's like a professor at a pretty big college, I think, something like that. He was probably able to find her. The most impressive thing is that her sister had a cell phone in 1997.
Yeah, loaded.
And also the genie knows what redial is.
Yes, the genie knew exactly how to use all this shit. It is impressive.
Yeah, for being locked away quick. For thousands of years.
Maybe he was watching the whole time.
Ooh, but he was in a statue. He wouldn't have been able to see. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Wonders of the universe.
Don't ask to see wonders, honey. I'll turn into a snake.
Oh, God. So Alex visits the professor. She explains what happened. The professor's acting a little fishy. Asking sure. her a lot of questions like, "Oh, are you cold? Do you want me to turn the heat up? And you hungry? You want some food?" She's not biting. She starts to get a little suspicious, and then the genie shows its true form. And we also see the other room, just a faceless professor. He killed the professor and took her face.
Poor lady.
Poor lady.
What did she do?
Oh. Actually, I do know. She saw the true form of the genie, and she found it horrifying. And then the genie said, "Do you want me to free you from your terror?" And that's what she did.
Right.
Now, he tells Alex to start making wishes. She's not...
Your wishes!
She's not having it. So he gives her a freebie. So she's like, "I want you to blow your brains out." So he just kind of conjures a gun from nowhere and blows his brains out. But since he's, you know, everlasting, it doesn't actually kill him. He just regrows his brains. Now he's like, "All right, now make your real wish." And she wishes to basically know what he is. So to do that, he transports her into his gem, where he has stored all the souls of the people who had made wishes before. And they're all being tortured, basically, inside this gem. And then he conjures this weird little dog-type monster creature who starts chasing Alex.
Yeah, I don't get this.
Yeah. But anyway, it was just an excuse for her to be in danger so that she could wish for herself to be out of the gem. So she wished that she was back in her apartment.
Without him.
Without him. She gets there. She sees a note from her sister saying, "I went to that party at Beaumont's house." So she goes there to try and rescue her because the genie had vaguely threatened, like, "I know what a powerful motivator loved ones are."
You sincerely sound like Bane more than the genie.
Hey, just because I'm that good at impersonations. She drives to Beaumont's house. She gets there, goes into the party. The genie tries to get in. He's not on the invite list, so he has an altercation with the doorman, who is the Candyman. So it was interesting to see these two horror behemoths battling it out, albeit one without his powers.
Yeah, I can't believe you caught that immediately, by the way. Like, have you seen Candyman recently at all?
I've actually never seen Candyman.
How the fuck did you know it was him? John, I have seen Candyman and I didn't recognize him.
Oh.
Not at first. How the fuck did you know that was him? John is, like, good weirdly good at, like, recognizing people in movies. It'll be a really far away scene. And it'll be like, oh, man, is that Tobey Maguire? And I'm like, no. And then, and then of course, it is. How did you do that? All right, Candyman came out in 92. So Candyman was before this. I thought it was before this, but I wasn't sure. I was just curious. We'll have to do Candyman sometime.
Yeah, probably. Then we'll have to determine who would have won in a true fight between these two.
Based on my memory, I would say Candyman, but it's been a long time.
Hmm. He can use his powers probably even if nobody asks for something, right?
That's exactly it. Yeah.
So, yeah, basically he tricks the doorman into asking for something and then traps him in a big vat of water.
This one didn't make any sense. He basically was like, don't you want to be free of your life? And my impression is just as good as yours. Don't look at me like that. And he's like, yes, I would like to be free. So then he puts him in like a tank of water and like a, you know, like a magician would do with the straitjacket on.
Houdini escaped in 2 minutes.
Yeah. It's like, that's not escaping. That's giving him something to escape from.
Yeah. He already had something to escape from.
Yeah. You didn't.
Lame.
I didn't like this because.
Stick to your own rules, genie.
Yeah. I can get away, you know, I can go along with a lot of weird stuff.
Creative interpretation of
yes,
wording.
I can't, but this one didn't make any sense. Dumbass yeah. fucking movie.
Unlike the next one, where Beaumont is inside talking to him, and Beaumont just gives up the straight up, exactly stupid ass wish that the first guy did, which was like, I want a party that will basically be remembered forever. It'll go down for ages.
I'll give him a pass on this because he didn't know that he was talking to a genie.
That's true.
The guy was just kind of like, oh, you know, I heard about it. There's a, you know, I don't know, there was a party that was written about for centuries, and I think he was talking about the party that he had, you know, initially turned people to snakes and weird skeleton men. So, and then he was like, oh yeah, I'd love to throw a party like that. That was all he said, so I give him a pass.
Yeah, so we basically get another party of horrors, which was another fun practical effects bonanza.
Yeah, practical effects bonanza. What was your favorite one? The only one that's really sticking, like, in my memory right now is the piano strings.
Oh, they had the piano strings. Those were pretty good.
They just kind of, like, flew out of the piano and decapitated a dude.
I liked the Beaumont just kind of, like, vomiting that weird creature and that was, like, had all their tentacles that tried to grab her in while it was still hanging out of his throat.
Yeah,
and
that was pretty horrifying.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
The glass lady was CGI, but
like, oh yeah, she turned into Chris. That was like the first one that happened, I think.
Yeah, and she exploded and...
oh, that's right. Oh my god, so she exploded. There, someone was like, and it exploded in very small pieces, but for some reason it sheared off a
straight half of a dude's face,
like in the blink of an eye. It was hysterical. And then a bunch of people just had shards of glass in their face and were either dead or running around just fine, depending,
one or the other. The genie basically corners Alex and is really trying to make her last wish. She kind of refuses, and he says, I don't need you dead. I just need you to wish you were dead. And then has a statue throw a trident straight at her fucking face. Like, my dude, that's how you kill people.
Yeah.
She would have been dead. That surely would have fucked your whole thing up.
Yeah, this one bothers me too, because in this case, like, we can then translate this to mean that he could kill her whenever he wants and try to find somebody that would be easier to convince to make the three wishes, but why wouldn't he do that?
But can he transfer ownership before somebody makes their third wish?
What happens if they die and they haven't made their third wish?
I guess he's just screwed.
I would assume that it would reset.
I guess it can still get powers, but, like,
Yeah.
Maybe
I don't
he
know.
just can't bring his legion of undead, which I guess that'd be fine too then. It would just be him. He seems powerful enough.
No, but he wants his legion of undead.
Yeah. They're his friends.
They're his buddies, man. He misses his friends, dude.
Man.
Alex.
I root for the genie.
I don't.
Alex is running around the party trying to find Shannon and eventually finds her trapped in a painting that the genie had made. She is trapped in a building much like the one that her parents died in a fire, and then the genie sets it on fire much like her parents. So he's really trying to get her to make her last wish to save her sister. And finally, in a series of many kind of flashback style newspaper clipping things, she thinks back to reading the article about what started this whole thing, and she wishes that Mickey Torelli wasn't drinking on the job 2 days ago. Now, he's the one who dropped the statue. This takes the genie by surprise, and for some reason, there's no way he can twist this wish around. So he turns back time, basically, for everyone except for Alex, and the box never drops. Alex asks Josh out. And all is well in the world.
Yeah, the statue is sitting in Beaumont's little house of statues and other collectibles, and the genie just remains inside.
Laughing for some reason.
Yeah, we don't know why he started laughing.
Maybe he knows something we don't know.
Yeah, like that there are three other Wishmaster films.
But we know that.
So how did you like Wishmaster, having not seen it before?
It was fun. It was pretty much what I expected it to be. Yeah, it followed the same theme as a lot of those types of stories I had read, where people wish for stupidly vague things.
Yeah. It's definitely fun. I still found it fun. If you enjoy, like, practical effects horror a la Reanimator, you know, you might enjoy this. Don't expect it to make all that much sense, but that's okay. But yeah, it was
And
fun.
We said 97, right?
97.
Yeah. So, I mean, they had...
a lot of movies at the time were using a lot of CGI, so it was kind of cool.
Yeah, like this was 4 years after Jurassic Park. I think a lot of movies had started moving more towards the direction of CGI.
Yeah. I wonder if the other Wishmaster films do. Probably.
I wonder too. Probably.
The lowest
rated
one
probably close
is...
to episode one, too.
Yeah, the lowest rated one, I think, is number 3, not number 4, shockingly. But I'm excited to get to it and see. I like them to keep the practical effects, but I feel like we're going to be disappointed in that.
What? We're never disappointed by the lowest rated movie in the series.
Okay, so I'm going to rate Wishmaster. I'm going to rate it 1 milk mustache all over the face. And I'm going to give it 10 guy caught in a glass wall, because that was just so great. I'm going to subtract the genie not following his own rules, because that's rude, genie.
It is rude.
It's very rude.
No honor in these evil creatures.
But I will add Alex, because I thought the actress was actually pretty good for a movie like this, where a lot of the dialogue's very stilted, and the actors, you could tell, are just doing the best that they can. She's very good at screaming and crying at the camera.
She is good at that.
Yeah.
Which is good, because you see it a lot.
You do see it a lot. What would you rate Wishmaster?
I would rate Wishmaster 1 exploding glass lady.
Glass lady? Yeah. Oh, right, at the end.
And 10 walking murder statues.
Oh, those were cool. I did like how in the, like, party scene, because it's all his art gallery area, the genie was using all of the statues and the art in his torment, which was very creative.
He has a lot of time sitting in that gem to think of creative ways to...
I guess so.
And I would subtract, I guess...
Moving-eyed mannequin?
Oh, God, that was very uncomfortable. Mm. I'm going to subtract moving-eyed mannequin.
I know, my man. Yeah.
Why'd you do that, Wishmaster? It's weird.
It was weird. It made me uncomfortable. It's a horror movie. I wasn't expecting to feel like that.
Well, that'll do it for us on Wishmaster. Join us next time when we talk about Wishmaster 3.
Make your wishes.
Well, until then, watch the best.
And save the rest for us.
I want you to die.
You just sound like Bane, John.
I know, that was the...
That was on purpose? I could not tell the difference between you doing it on purpose and you not doing it on purpose.
I was born in the dark.